Just very, very thankful to be here tonight. Consider it a great privilege to be able to stand before you and make an effort to speak in the precious name of Jesus. We do come with a measure of fear, recognizing our great need of the Lord to bless us, but also with the confidence that is in Him, that He is able to give us the things we stand in need of tonight if we simply trust Him and look to Him and beg Him to lead us and direct us in the way that we should go. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to read in your hearing tonight. I know what will be a very familiar passage, but feel very impressed with it. I've been reading this afternoon. Mine was led to this passage, I believe, and it continues to be there. So we'll look at it together and pray that the Lord would give us what we need. I'd like to read to you from Matthew chapter 14. And we'll read beginning at verse 22, read down to the 33rd verse of Matthew chapter 14. This account I know you'll be very familiar with, of an occurrence in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the life of His disciples while He walked here on the face of the earth. And He said in the 22nd verse of Matthew 14, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Tonight we believe that that same Son of God who walked on the water to them in the midst of their trouble and was the answer to their trouble is with us here at this little church right here tonight as we meet. I fear sometimes we forget that. And we forget that when we gather, there's a great promise that when we meet in His name, that He is present with us. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is one in our midst to bless us. And I think and feel sometimes I know my behavior and my thoughts, if I was more aware of that, more cognizant of that, more acknowledging that, would be far different. My thoughts and my behavior than sometimes it is. Of all the places we could be tonight, there's none, I believe, any more important than where we are gathered. I believe that the light of the world, the light of this nation, the salt, the preservative of this nation, is found among God's little children in little assemblies like this where they meet to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We come to pray and to preach and to sing and to give honor and glory to the precious name of Jesus. That's the subject matter of what we're here to talk about. The subject matter of the sermon, the subject matter of the songs. It should also be the subject matter of our conversation. It should be the subject matter of how we act and how we behave and how we conduct ourselves in this world. And we've already sung one hymn tonight that did say that the world is not a friend to the little child of grace to help us on to God. It's an adversarial relationship that you and I are in this world. This world, we've talked about it earlier, is not an easy place to live in, and it's getting more and more difficult. We find that the way that the Bible teaches us that we ought to think and act and behave and be as God's little children is so very, very contrary to the way that the world teaches and that the world demonstrates to us how to act and walk and talk and behave. Their ideas and their thoughts are not like His ideas and His thoughts. And really, in our own nature, we understand the things of the world because as men, we have those tendencies in us that if we don't keep that under, those things can rule and reign in our lives. If we don't keep the old man where he belongs and keep the and continue to walk as much as we can in the new man by the Spirit of God, we can become and think just like the world. But even if you're following the Lord, even if you've taken up your cross, as I believe you have tonight, you've come out from the cares and the troubles of this world, and you didn't come here to hear bad news. You came here to hear good news, and you came to get to learn and to grow. And as newborn babes, you're desiring and hungering for the sincere milk of the Word. You want to hear the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You want to hear about a powerful, wonderful, loving Savior who is not only a deliverer, who has delivered us eternally speaking, but is also our deliverer here in time, who will be our deliverer for tomorrow and as many tomorrows as we ever will face in this world. What a friend we do have in Jesus. And it's wonderful to know that the disciples had a friend that came to them when they were in trouble. And tonight, you and I have that same friend who is never any different. He's Jesus. And if I'm going to be faithful and preach the gospel, the Bible tells me I'm going to preach Jesus Christ, not different, but Jesus Christ the same, when? Yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord that is mentioned in Psalm 23, who is our shepherd. And because of Him, we can say tonight, I shall not want, which means with Him I can be satisfied. I can be satisfied when the storms are raging. I can be satisfied when the seas are calm. I love calm seas in my life. I don't like trouble. If I could avoid trouble, I would never have any trouble. If I could keep all of my family well all the time, none of them would be sick. If I could have all the economical needs and things that I knew absolutely would be met the way, of course, the way I would want them would be probably in a way that would spoil. I'd spoil all my children. I'd certainly spoil myself. I'd spoil my wife. I'd spoil my family. I'd probably spoil y'all. I would do everything that I could if I had those things. I'd just love to be able to give away all the stuff I could give away. But you know, that those things that we have and that we would do are not necessarily what God would have us to do, because we would like to live our lives without any troubles, without any problems. We would never want to be toiling out on a troubled sea. And really, sometimes our life is just that picture, isn't it? Sometimes if you look at your life, you go like, shoo, is there ever going to be a time where there isn't a storm? Is there ever going to be a time where I don't have a problem? Is there ever going to be a time when I don't have to worry about somebody being sick? Is there ever going to be a time where everybody's got all the money they ever need to answer the problems that they have? Is there ever going to be a time where somebody isn't fussing or fighting? Is there ever going to be a time where we can have some measure of peace in this world and we feel like there is no peace? And really, when we're in that state, we're kind of like those disciples when they thought they were in such trouble, but in all the time they were out there, they were right in the will of Almighty God. Now, that didn't mean they acted like it they should all the time, but they were where the Lord had them to be. Because, you see, the reason they were on this ship is because Jesus had told them to go get in it. Jesus had not only told them, He had constrained them to do it. He had given them direct orders to do it. He constrained the disciples to go get on the ship. They could easily say, "We're in this trouble out here on this sea because Jesus told us to come get on this ship." And probably that may have been, I'm not going to speculate on that, but I know sometimes it becomes our conversation or our thoughts that, well, we're here, but we're doing what God would have us to do. I'm having this problem, but I'm trying to be obedient. I've been looking to the Lord. I've been praying. I've been asking Him to take care of us. I've been praying about this problem, Lord. I've had this physical problem, and I've wanted some help. Remember, the Apostle Paul had an affliction in the flesh that he longed to have that thorn in the flesh removed. The Bible doesn't really tell us what that thorn in the flesh was. There's been many thoughts about that. It could have been some physical thing, or it could have been some inner battle that he was having. But he didn't get that very thing removed, did he? It wasn't just the way he wanted it. I don't know what the name it and claim it people do with all of that. When Paul asked three times of the Lord, very specifically, to have it done, could he just claim it and have it done? No. He had to listen to what the Lord said, and that's what we need to do tonight. And what He said was so wonderful and so beautiful. And it is complete, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said this, He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Tonight, I don't know your battle. I know you got one. I don't know what's going on in your life. I may know a little bit about it, but I don't know it like you know it. I don't know it especially like the Lord knows it. I know that I have battles, and you don't know them. You don't want to hear all them. If I would lay out to you sometimes what I lay out to my dearest and closest loved ones, and you know, I'm thankful that I have good brethren I can share those things with, and you I can share those things with, but you don't want to hear that all the time around somebody. All they do is talk about the storm. You know, there's a big storm going on. Well, we know that. As a matter of fact, I'm in it, you're in it, we're all in it. As long as we're in this world, we're going to be in this storm. We're not always going to be on a steady, smooth sea. There's going to be some times where the boat's doing along just fine, but there are going to be other times when the waves seem like they're going to overflow and that we're going to go down and that we're not going to make it. We just need to remember this. The reason you and I are in this world is to give honor and glory to the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And there's never a storm that we'll ever face. There's never a wave that ever comes our way that He is not absolutely in control of. Listen, this storm wasn't by happenstance. We know who causes the wind to blow, don't we? We know who can make it calm. He proved that very clearly. And as long as we're in that storm, there's a purpose for the storm. There's even a need for the storm. There's some growth that happens in the storm. There's some learning that takes place in the storm. There are some reasons that we need to be brought to places at times in our life when we recognize you and I can't do it. Sometimes we like to think, well, I can make it. Many times man in his nature will say, I can make it through any storm. That man just hadn't been in the right storm. You know, and he hadn't realized the storms that he has made it through weren't by his own strength and his own power and his own might. But there's a God who rules and reigns in heaven, who is supreme, who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who can take us through the storms and the battles of life. And when you read in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we're led as sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb's but dumb before our shears. We're going to have pains and afflictions and troubles, and we're going to face them in this world. And just as sure as you're in this world, you're not going to get rid of those things. Sometimes I'd just like to hear, well, if I did this and did this and did that, I could get free of all my troubles. If you're here tonight to hear that, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Because what I'm going to say to you tonight is what the Bible teaches. And that if any of you will live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. If any of you, you're to be blessed. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my name's sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And listen, the blessings that we find not only to follow Him. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to believe on Him. And He's called us to believe on Him. But not only has He called us to believe on Him, but He's called us to suffer with Him. To suffer with Him. None of us has ever faced the storms He faced. None of us has ever suffered the pain He suffered. None of us has ever endured the agony that He endured. None of us ever has had friends turn their backs on us like He had friends turn their backs on Him. Even those who said, "We'll never leave you and never forsake you," they all ran and hid and even cursed, spit on the ground, said, "I know not the man." A loving brother Peter, who was so blessed of the Lord, was right there thinking he would follow the Lord, just like you and I sometimes feel like we'll never deny Him. And yet, I'll tell you what we're prone to do. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. When we beg Him tonight, listen, by the same grace that He saved us and that He's called us out of death to life, and given us life in Christ, that same strength is what I need and what you need tonight to be able to live in this storm in a way to honor and glorify the Lord and even be thankful for the storm. Even be thankful. Listen, we ought to be thankful when the Lord tells us what to do. It's bad when you're in this world and you don't know what to do. And that's what you come to church for, to get told what to do. A lot of people don't come to church to get told what to do. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. And if you're sitting there tonight, you can be so lifted up in your own pride to think nobody can tell me what to do, because I know what to do and nobody has a right to tell me what to do. I want you to know that the one we're talking about tonight, He has the right to tell us all what to do. We are His bondservants. We are His slaves, so to speak. We are His children, but we also are unprofitable servants. We're born into this world and live in this world for the responsibility to bring honor and glory to our Savior. This life is not our own. We're bought with a price. Thanks be to God. If that's not the case, I'm telling you, you and I are in trouble tonight. Because if that's not the case, then we do not belong to Him. And when we leave this world, there's no good news for us. And to be without Him, to die without Him, is to face the judgment without the Lord. And what a fearful, horrible idea and thought that would be. And I'm thankful tonight to know that if you have been awakened to an awareness that you're a sinner and that you're without Him, you're dead in sin, you're shaping in iniquity, and there's no hope for you but the precious blood of Jesus. If you understand that, you're not a child of wrath, but rather you have been delivered from that. He's called you into His love, into His mercy, and therefore you and I can face even death without fear because of what He's done for us. And if we could face death without fear, shouldn't we be facing life without fear? But a lot of times I'm afraid. How about you? You get afraid? I get afraid. I look at this world and get afraid. I listen to the news and get afraid. I look at the way things seemingly going to come out and get afraid. I look at this election, scares me to death. I look at what's the way our country is going, so away from God and the things of God, and the way our Supreme Court is making decisions and the way things are going and the direction, and I wonder where we're going to be. And I said, the storm is so great and so much. Is it going to overflow us? Or are we going to go under? Well, we don't know what the promise is for America. I know this. A nation can suffer that turns its back on God, and they can suffer in many hard and severe ways. But I'll tell you, God's little children, the Lord is still your shepherd. And no matter what happens to America, we have a friend in Jesus who is able to take care of us. Now, should we pray for our nation? Absolutely. Should we be thankful for the freedom we've been given? Absolutely. Should we lose hope that He will destroy us because of the shape we're in? Listen, if it was about us being in the right shape, this nation would have been gone a long, long time ago. Y'all know that, don't you? As a matter of fact, if it was about you and I having it right, we would be gone a long, long time ago if it was about this church having everything right, as good as it's been. If it was about us having everything right, we'd have been gone a long, long time ago. And you get any of us outside of the grace of Almighty God, and if you don't have a loving, wonderful, merciful Savior who will come to you in the midst of a storm, even when your thoughts aren't where they're supposed to be or your mind isn't where it ought to be, that doesn't mean you ought to say, well, then it doesn't matter what you think. Oh, it does matter what you think. But I'm telling you, the Lord does not let loose of His children. He loves them enough that He comes to them and He chastens them. There are some chastisements and some woodshed whippings that you and I don't have to have. We can miss them by being obedient to the Lord. And I hope tonight the Lord will bless us to think about that more as we leave here, so that we might walk in a way that we walk in as a fellowship and find more of the peace and the joy that is ours. He said, straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side. And I love to point this out. There is absolutely nothing that could have happened for them not to get to the other side. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus told them to get in the ship and go to the other side. I'm telling you, He said, you're going. Now, He didn't say the way was going to be real easy. As a matter of fact, He never made any promises about the trip. But He said, you get in the ship and go to the other side. You know how I know they're going to the other side? Because Jesus said that. You know how much Jesus has said? We've got a whole book of what Jesus said. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. So when you feel like He's left you and forsaken you, the only thing you can say about that, I'm wrong. He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. He said in His Word that we, as we look to Him and trust in the Lord and delight in Him, He will give us the desires of our heart. Now that doesn't mean He'll give you everything you want, but it does say this. If you have your priorities right and you're looking to the Lord, all you want is His fellowship. All you want is His love and His mercy and His grace. And He will help you be what you should be and give you the strength to do it even though you think you don't have it. So you'll face something, you say, I don't have the wisdom to do that. No, you don't. But He does. I don't have the strength to do that. But no, you don't. But He does. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't know what to do. Oh, how many times as a minister I thought, what in the world are we going to do? I don't know what to do. Tell you, when you get like that, what you do is you get down on your knees and you say, Lord, help me. Cry out. Cry unto Him. And if the answer doesn't come, keep on crying. Just keep on crying. Somebody said, well, is that a waste of time to keep on crying? I'm telling you, it's never a waste of time to pray. When it's a waste of time is when you're not praying. If you either, how often are we to pray? Pray without ceasing and faint not. If we don't pray without ceasing, we're going to be fainting. And how much better is it for us to live? We're going to the other side, whether we faint or whether we're trusting. Isn't it much better to go to the other side trusting? And all I'm thankful though, when we don't, He comes to us. Comes to us in the midst of the storm. He says He sent them to go before Him to the other side. While He sent the multitudes away, He had His disciples in mind. He sent, there was a crowd of people that had gathered because He was feeding them. You know, if you want to fill this house up, just offer free food. People will come. Just get a big, you know, a lot of people, just open up the pantry. They'll come. Offer something in the way of entertainment. They'll come. Offer them this, offer them that. They'll come. And there was a crowd that had gathered here. And they were so excited about what Jesus had done. They were going to make Him king. And He knowing that, and it wasn't His time. It wasn't time for this. And so and He knowing that went aside. He also taught us some lessons about there are some times for us to just get out of the crowd. Not all the time to be in the midst of the crowd. There's times you just need to get aside. And you know what He got aside to do? Not just to sit back and watch TV or feed up or take a break or any of that. He had time for communion with His Father. You know, sometimes I get to going along in this world and I, you know, like that little hymn that says, did you think to pray ere you left your room this morning? Did you think to pray? Where are we sometimes so busy getting to where we got to be and doing what we got to do that we forget the most important thing in our life, and that is to ask the Lord to give us strength and help? It'd be better for us to miss it than to get there without Him, wouldn't it? It surely would. And when we come into church, we surely ought to be praying. But it's not just when you come to church. It's when you leave church that you really need to be praying. You know, it's pretty easy around God's people to act like you're supposed to. It's when you get out in that world and you get out in the midst of that storm. When you're sitting there among the fish and the barley loaves and you're just distributing all of this, it's easy to be that good disciple feeding the flock. But when you're out in the ship and you feel all alone and you're toiling and you've gone through the first watch of the night, the first 3 hours, you go through the second, and then the third 3 hours, and now you're in the fourth watch. You're tired. You're weary. You're worn out. I'm telling you, at that time is when we need to be calling and praying on the Lord, praying to the Lord, looking to Him. Brethren, you know, there are some times we're in the troubles of this world and we just forget the most important thing, and that is to pray, to look unto the Lord. Jesus taught us to pray. You know, I love to think about Jesus praying. You know, He never had to really just pray, because He was always in prayer with His Father. He said that. Why do you think the Bible says that He went up into a mountain apart to pray? Why do you think that was there? Do you not know that He was praying when He was down in the valley? He was praying when He was on the mountaintop? There was never a time in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that He wasn't in complete communion and communication with His Heavenly Father. It was always, He was always. He said, "You're always with me. I don't speak these things for you to hear me, because you always hear me. You're always with me." He's always with. But He taught us as our great example. He was not only the Son of God, He was the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, He taught us what we needed to do. And listen, one of those things we need to do is come apart. Go get in your closet. I'm not talking about a literal closet, but if that works for you, go on, get in it. Shut out the world and spend some time in communion with the Lord. One of the best things you can do when you're in the middle of a fuss of a family is to stop and say, "Okay, let's stop right now. Stop. And let's go pray." When you're facing some kind of trouble, stop. Let's pray. When a church gets ready to where it's just about at one another's throats, you know, you say, "Well, I don't think that'll ever happen here." I'm telling you what, all we have to do is let the guard down and the old adversary will come in, and the next thing you know, those good loving brethren that you think you can't do anything but hug their neck, you can get to where you just almost feel like, "I don't want to ever see them." We sing a hymn like that, you know, sometimes. They are the people that I most long to see, and then there are sometimes there seem to be the people that I... You know what the difference is? Is when we're in the Spirit and when we're in the flesh. And when God's little children get in the flesh, when the disciples got in the flesh, you know what they did when they got in the flesh? They forgot all about the loaves. They forgot all about the fishes. They had just come from the loaves and fishes. And now they're out in a storm, and the first thing they do is forget that there's one who can help them, even though He's already shown what He could do over and over and over again. Is there one of us who would dare say that Jesus hasn't already shown us over and over again what He's able to do? Have you not seen His power? Listen, He loved us enough to die for us at Calvary, and then came to us in the person of the Holy Spirit and made us alive. We were dead in sin, and He made us alive. He gave us a love for Him and a love for others of God's children. If He hadn't have done that for us, we wouldn't care a thing about this place. We wouldn't care anything about one another. And I'll tell you tonight, I wouldn't give anything for what we share in a way of fellowship and love for one another. But we wouldn't have that if we didn't have that friend in Jesus who makes us love, have that love and everything else that's worthwhile. And yet, easily, how easy we can walk outside of that when we get in the old flesh. Here we're in the, and we're in the storm. Listen, you're in the storm. You're in the storm. When are you in the storm? Right now. How long will you be in the storm? Till you leave this world. Here's the good news though. You're going to the other side. You know how we know that? Because He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now get this, that's not just talking about heaven, it's talking about every time we meet here in a worship service, and He comes, prepared this place for us, and we have fellowship and communion with Him. Right here in the midst of the storm, He sometimes comes and does come. He's always present. It's just there's times we can't see His presence. We can't feel it. We just come to church to hear about it so that we're able to understand it and recognize it more. Preaching doesn't make the Lord be with you. It allows you to see that He is with you. You get that? It doesn't make Him yours. It just tells you that He is yours. And He is yours because you belong to Him. He made choice of you. And there's nothing that's going to separate you from Him. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things past, nor things present, nor anything future, nor any other creature shall be able. And I didn't get them all in that 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Read those last few verses. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what that promise says? You're going to the other side. Everyone He foreknew, He predestinated. Everyone He predestinated, everyone He foreknew, He predestinated. And those He predestinated, He called. And those He called, He justified. And those He justified, He glorified. You know what that says? You're going to the other side. That's what it says. But we're in the midst of the storm. Sometimes we're toiling away at life. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Jesus saw them toiling on the water. It doesn't say that right here in this passage, but in a parallel passage, we have those words. Jesus saw them toiling on the water. He didn't have to go walking out on the water to see them. And I'm telling you right now, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, Jesus knows, doesn't He? He's right there. Whatever you got to face. He not only knows what you're in right now. This is good. He not only knows what you're in right now. I feel it's good. Right, wherever you are right now, not only where you are now, but where you're going to be. Where you're going to be. Wherever that is. His eyes, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That word, the word of God, is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. He's living. He's the living word. There is nothing that He's not aware of, and no trouble or circumstances we'll ever face that He's not aware of. It says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. It sounds like your life, doesn't it? Where are you? My ship's in the midst of the sea. And you know what's happening? Tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That would be bad news, wouldn't it? If there wasn't one who saw us, if there wasn't one who watched us and saw us toiling and knew the need and knew where they were going, He knew the outcome. He knew what they were going to face. And in the fourth watch of the night, why didn't Jesus come in the first watch? Well, it wasn't time in the first watch. They were toiling in the first watch. They worked through the first watch. Why didn't He come in the first watch? Well, it wasn't time. You ever been in a situation saying, Lord, why don't You fix this? You pray, God, fix this. I imagine these brethren were praying. They were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. I imagine they prayed. I don't know how much believing they were. Sometimes we pray and really don't expect any outcome. We pray and we ask the Lord, but are we really praying believing? And yet the Lord didn't come. It wasn't His will to come here in the first watch. He didn't come in the second watch. He didn't come in the third watch. And He came in the fourth watch. That's just before daybreak. And there He came. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. And here's how He went. I'll tell you how bad the troubles were for Him. Somebody said, well, I don't know whether God can handle this. It's such a big mess. I want you to know when Jesus went to them, He went walking on that troubled sea. He didn't have any. It wasn't a smooth sea. It wasn't a calm sea. These were sailors. These were men who were fishermen. They were fishermen by trade. They knew how to take care of a boat. But they were in trouble. And they knew they were in trouble. They'd been toiling. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes walking. Not on a little calm sea. I've seen pictures drawn like a nice little calm sea of Galilee and Jesus walking on a calm sea. Listen, if you're going to draw this picture, don't draw any little sea. You don't have that picture in your mind all nice and smooth. I'm telling you, this was a boisterous sea that was about to sink this ship. Except the ship could not have gone down, would not have gone down. No way it could have gone down. You know why? Because he said, you're going to the other side. Isn't that good? And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. He walks on our troubles. Think you got a lot of trouble? Not too big for Jesus. Got a big mountain in front of you? He can remove it. You got some obstacle in the way? You don't want to be in Jesus' way if you're the obstacle. You better get out of the way. I'm telling you, when he speaks, whatever, when he says for something to move, it'll move. And when something is to stand fast, he'll have it stand fast. And not only that, he will give you the strength to do what you need to do as his little child in the midst of the storm. He'll give you the ability to labor in the first watch and in the second watch and the third watch and even have the great privilege of suffering some with him. You see, we, in order to enjoy, to understand what he endured, have to have some of that suffering ourselves, or we would have no understanding. If the Lord took away every pain, we'd never know what pain was and would never be able to relate at all to what Jesus suffered. If you had a measure of pain, listen, what he endured was so far greater than that. But if that measure you have gives you a little taste of what Jesus endured for you, oh, it makes you even more appreciative. And the more you realize he's done for you, the more you'll love him. Listen, you love him much because you understand you're forgiven much. That's why it's important for you to understand what a mess you are, so you can understand what the Lord has done for you, so that you'll truly love him for how much he's forgiven you. I know that's the way you feel tonight. He's forgiven me of so much. Oh, what great love he showed to me, that he's forgiven me of what he's forgiven me of. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. These men of faith who had just, they got troubled, saying it is a spirit. They didn't recognize it was Jesus. Here the help was coming. But in one place in the scriptures, it says, and he would walk by. He would walk, and he would have walked by them. But they cried out. He would have walked by them. I think about that. He would have walked by them, but they cried out. And they didn't cry out. They didn't cry out because they knew who he was and said, Jesus, come help us. They cried out because they saw a spirit and they were scared. Does that remind you of anybody? Just his little children crying. You know, when Jesus has his little children crying, though, he comes. He helps them. He's a loving father. Isn't it wonderful that we have that kind of Savior? Even when we're crying amiss, even when we don't know sometimes, we're hurting and in trouble. We sing that hymn, Does Jesus Care? And we answer that, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And he will. When we've lost a loved one, he cares. When you're going through hurt, he cares. When you have a need, he cares. When you call and talk to him and speak to him in prayer, he cares. You're not talking to one who cannot understand the feelings of your infirmities. And he suffered in all points like unto us. Not because of sin. He had no sin, but in his body, he took our sin and he knew what suffering us is. And when we call on him, he's able to answer just right. And then he was walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And he cried out for fear. And I love these words. But Jesus, straightway, didn't waste time, spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. That's what preaching ought to say to you. Cheer up. Here tonight, say, cheer up. Why are you so sad? Don't be so sad. Cheer up. There's good news. Listen, our country's in trouble, but listen, our king is still on the throne and he's able to answer in his own way, in his own time, and in the right time he will answer, and he always does. And we can count on him. His promises are sure. He said, be of good cheer. Why? It is I. And that's why we're to be of good cheer tonight. Not because I'm something or you're something, but he's something. Listen, our Savior's something. The one who's ahead of your home is something. The one who's ahead of this church is something. The one who is the foundation of our life is something. He is a solid rock. And no, there is no rock like our rock. There is no Savior like our Savior. He has the power and is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. And time is gone. And we haven't got to Brother Peter yet. But Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I think it was Brother Barney who pointed out the fact at the meeting over at White Oak. He said, everybody gives Peter a hard time, but nobody else got out the boat. And I thought that was a great, great thing to say. And that is true. Peter says, Lord, if it be thou. He had some doubts about it, but he said, if it be thou. Does that sound like us, doesn't it? Lord, if it be thou. Lord, if it's you. Bid me come to thee on the water. Bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Jesus said, come. He granted him that request. It must have been in accord with the will of God. Sometimes he said, no. He would say to us, if we might want something, he would say, no, it's not for you to do. But in this case, it was for him to do. Listen, you and I are able to walk on our troubles when? When our eyes on Jesus. And when our eyes on Jesus, we have the ability given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our eyes get off Jesus and get on the trouble, what do? We do what Peter did. We sink. And that's exactly what happened. Do you think this just happened to be? Do you know if they hadn't have been in the fourth watch, this wouldn't have been nearly as meaningful? Do you know if they hadn't have been toiling and all of this had taken place? Do you think this trip was unnecessary? Do you think the troubles you and I face in this world and have to go through are unnecessary? Or do you believe what the Bible teaches, that the Lord works in those things? He doesn't cause sin to be in this world, but He overrules it, and He's the overcomer of it, and He brings many times out of the most worst, like Joseph's life, what they meant for evil, God meant it for good. And over again, we see God's hand all over our lives. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Don't focus so much. We can focus on him going into the water, but also remember, he walked on the water. And God's little children are able to do that by the grace of God. And he said, but when he saw the wind, notice what happened. How are you going to see the wind? You got to take your eyes off the Savior to see the wind. You got to take your eyes off the Savior to see the trouble. Otherwise, you're just enjoying the ride. I mean, you're just enjoying the trip. But when you get your eyes on the troubles, and I get my eyes over and over again, I come back to church to help me get my eyes where they ought to be. Have my eyes centered on the Lord and get my eyes off the trouble. I get back in the week and start listening to the news and this and that. And the next thing you know, my mind's on the trouble. And I'm not good for my mama. I'm not good for my wife. I'm not good for my family. And all I can say is, oh, well, I just get doom and gloom. But I'll tell you, when I get my eyes on Jesus, I don't know how it's going to work out. I know that I'll do what the Lord would have. We're to do. We're to toil. We're to do what He would have us to do. But I'm saying to you, unless He keeps our ship, it's going under. And He's promised to keep our ship. We can trust in Him. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. And he said, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And aren't you glad the Lord didn't say, well, too late, buddy. You just lack faith. You're gone. You're out of here. There's some people who say the Lord wants to just save everybody, but people won't let Him. I'll tell you, that'd be a mighty weak God who didn't get what He wanted. I'll tell you what the Bible says. He came down from heaven not to do His own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And He said, and the will of Him that sent me is that I would give. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which He has sent me, that of all that He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Aren't you thankful that's the kind of Savior that has you? Aren't you glad that you, when you let loose, He doesn't? Aren't you glad when you don't hold on, He does? And when you cry out, as Peter did, Lord, save me, he reached down and saved him. And immediately, by the way, if Jesus hadn't given him the wisdom to cry out, Peter would just be trying to swim and drown. But the Lord gave him that wisdom to cry out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And said unto him, O thou little faith, sound like he's talking to me, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. In another place in the scripture it says that immediately they were at the shore. I'm telling you, here they were, 25 or 30 miles in the midst of that battling, and here Jesus comes and immediately calms the sea, and then immediately they're out of the trouble. That's the kind of, he can take care of your trouble, make it calm, and he can take you right to the shoal. Did they get where he said they were going? You better believe it. And that's the kind of God we serve. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Appreciate your kind attention and patience. Love you, my brother. God bless you. What number?
470.